When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's a British tradition to regurgitate beads onto a man's shoulder. Come on, Tom.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready! Oh, hell yeah!
It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
Got him! Bloody hell, it's been months since we did the Cold Holly Classic Nitro review!
It's not been long enough, Tom. It's not been long enough.
This is where we watch every episode of Nitro from its beginning to its very bitter end. And at bitter ends, you will find myself, Tom Campbell, and the resident WCW kid, Sam Driver!
All right.
I have something to show you straight off the bat, sir.
Okay.
To get us straight back into the mix, I'd like to thank Jack Atkins from the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review for bringing this to my attention. And he said, can you please show Sam Driver when you see him? He will love it.
I enjoy a bit of sophistication, so I was very pleased to discover KP Skips. Delicate corn fries in pretty flower shapes with a subtle oriental flavour. Dainty, aren't they? So light, so refined. Some people like them best when they're relaxing. When you feel like something dainty, have a skip.
That's WCW superstar Loch Ness advertising KP Skips with
that?
Their, quote, oriental flavour.
That was what we picked up
fucking
on as
hell.
Well. Prawn cocktail crisps, the oriental flavour.
It's like, I get it, you know, like, oh, I don't know. Jesus Christ. Still, I think it's smart marketing, having such a big, burly bloke advertise them so light and floaty.
Yeah. I think it's marketing 101. Anyway, that's our little shot to get us going. Number one movie in the UK. Oh, what's the date of this one? November 18th?
November 18th, 1996,
November
I believe.
November 18th, yep. 1996. Number one movie in the UK is The First Wives Club. We haven't seen that one, have we?
No, it's I imagine it's about either women who kill their husbands or president's wives.
So it's these three women that are married to the
same
bloke.
That's first lady. Yeah,
three women that get married to the same bloke in three different points, and they all get together to get revenge on him. With hilarious.
Oh,
results.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
Hey, you'll know this one, but this bad boy, number one movie in the US is Space Jam.
Yeah. Basketball and Looney Tunes.
That's it. It started as a hilarious joke.
R. Kelly, Tom's favorite.
He's only my second favourite now because of the thing he did. In 92 and 93, they were...
Bumped him down a whole tier.
A whole one tier. Still better than Daffy from N-Dubs. In 92 and 93, two Super Bowl Nike ads featured Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
It was an inspiration to make a whole movie about it.
It makes sense. I mean, Christ, like basketball is one of the like most followed sports on earth.
Yeah.
The Looney Tunes are one of the most universal... probably universally followed cartoons on earth.
There was.
Sellotape them together. There was a bit of a weird buzz and a bit of a weird revival for Looney Tunes in the early 90s to mid 90s. It all just sort of worked.
There was a reluctance, though, because they weren't as beloved as Warner Brothers feared they were, which is they were a bit reluctant to do the advert initially because they were like, no one remembers Looney Tunes.
No one remembers Bugs Bunny,
no
that shit.
Remembers, but
nobody remembers
spoiler,
it.
Spoiler, they did. Space Jam is a bit of the production stuff for you, which I know you'll chomp on. Mm-hmm. The first ever production, one of the first ever productions to be shot on a virtual studio.
Not surprising at all.
No. Mm. It was filmed on a 360-degree green screen room, in a 360-degree green screen room with motion trackers fitted to Michael Jordan, and around him were green-suited NBA players and improv actors from the Groundlings Theatre and School as placement identifiers for the animated characters.
And they wrote the whole script on the spot, and that was it.
It felt like it at points.
Improved it. All done.
It was a movie that grossed $90.5 million in the US, $195 million in other territories, and made over $250 million over
God damn, yeah. I saw it at the cinema. I saw that on tape. Fucking Space Jam fever.
Do you go to the cinema? You go to the cinema to see it?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. There was loads of Looney Tunes stuff in the 90s, though. I mean, we had just a whole revival of it. But yeah, it's Space Jam. Yeah, I remember seeing that at the cinema.
Wonderful.
I remember holding the tape in my hands. Physically holding the tape.
Oh, nice. So, number one song in the UK, Robson Jerome. What becomes of the broken hearted?
Yes.
Clearly I remember picking on the boy. No, it is Robson and Jerome. It's not the other one. And number one song in the US is still No Diggity.
Right.
Gotta bag it up. On the 23rd of November, so the week after, a few days after this episode of Nitro, the BBC picked up the terrestrial rights to The Simpsons.
Which, I mean, it would go on to be like this weird back and forth between BBC Two and Channel 4, didn't it?
Mm.
So like they would hot shot, because Sky had all the exclusive rights to new episodes after a while.
They did, sir.
So if you wanted to watch new Simpsons, you had to have Sky. And then it would be like 5:30 p.m. on BBC Two, you get Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and then 6 o'clock Simpsons or something. And then Channel 4 had to kind of continue on with the 6 p.m. Simpsons spot because people were just used to it. So I remember, but it was all the older episodes of Simpsons anyway, so the better ones.
The better ones.
Yeah. So it's like every night you had a decent episode guaranteed.
There's a weird conversation about the Simpsons episodes because you've got like the initial episodes where the animation is a little bit...
It's a bit janky.
Janky and furtive. And then you've got kind of this golden period in the middle.
All the way up to like season 9, season 10.
And then you kind of got what has been referred to as zombie Simpsons that follows on from there.
Well, it's like you get up to the point where you have like the Lady Gaga episode and like, for my money, I get it. Are we supposed to be recording?
We are recording.
On Audacity?
We have a backup, but we got the main.
Ah, okay. There, so sweet. Fine. Perfect. I just panicked there.
Nah, you're good. You're good, brother. I remembered the trick.
But, you know, it was sort of, there's a whole episode where Lisa's just like, God, I just want to be popular like Lady Gaga. And it just disregards the entire idea of Lisa Simpson as a character. And it was just like, okay, like what the fuck?
She never wanted
magical
to be popular.
Train. There's like, okay, well, no, Lisa can want to be popular, but it was just the manner in which she just sort of throws away all of her ideals. And it's just like, I want to be a star. It felt very odd. But there's still the occasional like weird episode in there that I'll say that people should maybe check out. Like there's one where, I can't even remember which season, but there's one where Carl and the guys win the lottery.
I was about to say this episode.
And it ends, it's this big sprawling adventure to like Iceland, and you learn about like Carl's family. Yeah, it's a lot of needless stuff you'd never really need to know about. But like, it's the big voyage style episodes they do are still interesting. But like, everything else is a bit like...
But it's one of only two episodes where they've really dived into Carl Carlson as a character.
Yeah, but it shows you how far the show has gone that they have to dive into a background character's entire life.
Yeah, it's true. video game flavored news. This week, WWF In Your House is released. A successor to WrestleMania, the arcade game.
Arcade side on.
And you had the wacky backgrounds.
Yeah.
Like everyone had their own themed.
Yeah,
arena.
I remember the one.
Shawn Michaels was in the Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah.
Undertaker was in a morgue.
Doink had like a big top themed one, didn't
that's
he?
Yeah. It, yeah. It featured the digital versions of the wrestlers and many over the top, unrealistic, and magical moves and taunts performed by them. The game also featured finishing moves, which are performed before the final pin, which typically aren't the wrestler's finishers, in the sense that you'd have weapons, you'd have like items from the sky fall on them instead. And it was by Acclaim, so it was more Mortal Kombat effacing.
I never felt so conflicted by a company like Acclaim than I have them by a company like Acclaim, because like they made so many games from my childhood, but then the older you get, the more you realize they made torturous pieces of shit games for the most part. And it's just like, I remember Warzone fondly. Warzone was my first ever WWF game. And I remember playing that and being like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then you go back and try and play it now, and it's like, oh my God, this is like, it's like, have they even watched wrestling? Do they understand how any of this works? This is fucking
it's
nightmare.
Like having to perform the Sonic the Hedgehog level select cheat to do an arm drag.
Yeah. Like, right. But then it all just sort of not working anyway. Routinely bumping into your opponent, moving at a glacial pace. Oh, man. Just, awful.
Hard time.
Woeful.
And it was then, this particular one was not well received by critics. 5.6 and 4.6 on GameSpot for the DOS and PlayStation versions, respectively.
Well, people were starting to look for broader experiences in games around this time, I remember, as well. So the idea of having something arcade-like, which there was still a lot of interest in arcade stuff happening, for sure. But I think to have something quite generically arcade-like in your house is... To have that on a home console felt a bit like...
And also at this time, you've got...
price you paid for it as well.
You've got WCW versus the World.
Yeah.
And so you've got the first Aki THQ offerings landing from the form of virtual pro wrestling.
Those are a lot more fun to play than side-scrolly sort of...
Oh, my God.
...beat-em-up stuff that you've had for so long. Only because you've had it for so long. Obviously, the beat-em-up stuff will never, ever not be entertaining and fun to play, but...
When people wanted a wrestling game,
you had like a whole new dynamic to it once you started having the Aki games come through.
Yeah. And so we're not quite there yet with WWF at least, but that's the game out this week. In the boring world of the wrestling, Roddy Piper flavored news. His deal appears to be to do 4 or 5 matches a year and do about 15 interview appearances.
Okada deal. Nice.
It's the old Okada deal for Piper.
Here's 50 million quid. Can you turn up twice? Yeah.
Brilliant.
And Okada's like, just once? It's like, all right, yeah. And then, where did it all go wrong?
But hey, make bank. I certainly cast no shade on Okada or Mercedes Moné.
No, fucking take the money. Rip the guy's hands off.
I'm sorry. I find those conversations strange. I agree with you. Like, where did it all go wrong? We did this. But if someone said, here you go, Sam, here's 15 million.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Twice.
Some people go, oh, you're a sellout. Yes. Anybody ever called me a sellout? I'd be like, of course I am. Fuck off.
Are
you going to say no?
I had a whole conversation with someone on Twitter about
you know what kind of safety that brings in today's world.
It's mad, isn't it, that people would assume that you wouldn't. I had a whole conversation with somebody, and they were talking about there was a wrestler it was Cody going to WWE back in the day. And I said, so would you say that if you leave your first job, you're selling out on your first job?
I think you are, yeah.
That's what this guy said. You should show commitment to like the people that gave you a chance.
Tom, his first job was good enough for him, right, to still be doing. Why wasn't yours there? Why are you working in GameStop still or wherever it was?
A dishwasher at the Harvester Timber.
Why are you working still there? Dishwashing.
Because I wanted to do.
Think about what kind of a dishwashing master you could be now.
I could be, but yeah, I'd be on
probably
eight
like
pens.
4 plates at once, right?
And
not anymore.
By the way, no shade on dishwashers.
It's the idea that you would sit there, yeah, like going, okay, this is my chosen path in life.
I must not veer off it.
Like, you have like a whole like leveling up system in your head where it's like, I am gonna get to the point where I can wield like 2 spray things to go after the dishes handily, make it easy.
I mean, as I say, if that is your dream.
Mm.
Dream away.
Of course.
But I just found it interesting that
Tom says it's too good for him and you deserve to be there. That's what Tom's saying.
Might not be. Otherwise, a relatively quiet week in the land of the wrestling. And we're going to talk a little bit more about other bits and pieces from it as we move through this week's episode of the Classic Nitro Review. We're going to start with the Nasty Boys, High Voltage, and Galaxy and Cyclope spark out in the ring.
Yeah, absolute. Shite, what are they doing?
I had a moment where I went, is this a replay?
Are we catching up from the week before? Are these blokes just having a lie down? People are paid good money to be here. What's going on?
Did I miss a meeting?
Have they forgot that the show was going live and we've set it live 4 minutes late?
Did we ruin their slumber party? Hall and Nash are standing over them with steel chairs. So this was actually, when you peel it back and realize what's happening, I thought this was really fucking good. So they've interrupted a dark match.
Sorry, Tony Schiavone would call it a preceding match or a dark match. Just really, really flat and weird. Like, just rather than going, oh, like a warm-up match, you could have said anything.
I guess it, because a lot of it, whenever we've talked about this, and I've listened back to this, what I've always enjoyed is I've kind of gone the way of going, this doesn't feel like very well planned. And you go, well, yeah, well, that's the point.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be caught with their trousers down,
Off-kilter.
Everything. So when he said that, I kind of leaned into that afterwards. I went, how's he saying it like that for? And I guess, because they didn't know they were going to talk about it.
Well, Tony's a bit distracted by all of this.
He is, and it's upset him. Because then Hall and Nash get on the microphones and they start intimidating Tony and Larry.
Look, Tony's just scared. He's just proper little, like, scaredy cat. And it's hilarious because he's like, oh, Nash is going to kill my 7 kids. Like, he's not going to kill your 7. They're not even there. He's going to kill you, maybe.
He's going to kill you mainly.
Yeah. It's like, well, what's that going to mean for my family? In fairness, probably a good payout from Bischoff.
Yeah.
Sit at home and you get to see your kids all the time.
That'd be brilliant.
Massive amount of money.
Hall tells Meng and the Barbarian, who have challenged them for World War III, to come down so they can, quote, slap the coconut breath out of them.
Yes.
A wonderfully tasteful comment of the time. Hall and Nash say the faces of fear are here and they're going to go and find them. And Tony is left rattled by all of this as the cameras then go backstage with the outsiders.
And 90s wrestling finally arrives.
Yes, it bloody does. And what with aplomb, because the cameras follow Hall and Nash backstage where Meng and the Barbarian are there and they jump the outsiders and they brawl out of the arena.
Yeah, they brawl to like a side door and then they all brawl out into the car park.
Fucking great start to Nitro. Really good start tonight.
And obviously, Schiavone leaves just for the rest of the show because he's so butthurt that Kevin Nash was gonna definitely kill him and his 95 kids. And Larry Zbysko, noted absolute hero, definite face. Larry Zbysko did nothing to help him, and he's pissed off. Like, what do you? Larry's gonna put himself in danger to help you. Come on,
even I know that, man.
Why isn't my friend, noted heel Larry Zbysko, jumping to my aid here?
Just amazing, like, as well, like, because it's like, you're taller than me, Larry. And it's like, yeah, and fucking Nash is like 7 feet. Like, he's taller than Larry as well.
I love how that was an argument. You're taller than me.
Either way, it's going to be like hammering in lawn, like, dart. Not lawn, like lawn pegs.
That's a great Looney Tunes image, that is. So Tony's frazzled by it all. He's upset that Larry didn't defend him. So he takes off his headset and he's gone.
I'm going home to watch my 98 children. Make sure that Kevin Nash doesn't get anywhere near my family. Gonna build the greatest wall. He's probably on the document for later and everything. My favorite bit here is that Larry,
Hold it. Yeah. But it is weird because we do have Larry Zbysko doing play-by-play and color commentary on his Todd.
Right, so this is it.
In this first match.
What I was going to say is we start off with La Parca debuting versus Juventud Guerrera. But debut of one of the greatest, while Larry is simultaneously dying on his ass, solo on comms until Tanay pops up. But there's a point where... Oh, where was it? That's it. So Larry's asking questions about the NWO just before the match starts. Like, how come they can just come down here and use their own microphones and the microphones are on the same frequency? Do you ever think how like convenient that happens to be? They just seem to be able to seamlessly use WCW production despite being completely at odds with the company. Just too much like. just like, do you ever think it's weird that NWA were able to just get into the building, even though we don't want them here? It's almost like the company does want them here for some reason.
Have you noticed on Holmes Under the Hammer that when they open the door and say, hi, nice to meet you, there's already a camera in the hallway? Like, how they get the camera in there if they haven't already met him?
And I'm just sort of sat there like, okay.
I want the new Larry thing to...
Like, and how come like backstage, they're all listed like on the match board and they're internally, I've broken it to head offices and looked in the third drawer and in the third drawer is everybody's pay and they're listed as being paid by the company. What's going on?
We noticed that the sound technician has NWO music loaded in. Like, and he
presses
it when he's meant to.
We're all staying at the same hotel tonight. This is... In fact, I'm going out for a meal with Nash, Hall and everybody else and everything seems to be fine.
I found this on the floor and it's a hotel receipt for Hall, Nash. They're staying in the same room. They're in the room next to mine. We're joining. There's a door.
Why are they hanging out with Sting and his family? Look, what's going on? You're all just high-fiving, shaking hands. Sting's not even wearing makeup.
Why did Kevin leave saying, see you later? What are they doing later? Larry, mate, you've ruined it all. Have you noticed when they have callers on the radio, the callers talk right up to the vocal of the song? How do they manage to do that every time? It's like they were recorded earlier. Wink. Mike Tenay thankfully steps in to give Larry Zbysko a bit of a hand.
Just like, and we've got an exciting competition here. Like Mike Tenay, still a little bit kind of, which I enjoy.
Nice debut for the chairman, La Parca. Mm. One of 7 million La Parcas that wrestle around Mexico. But this is the first
I believe one. There's only two La Parcas. There's La Parca and there's L.A. Park. And L.A. Park is this La Parca.
So L.A. Park.
La Parca, the other La Parca, second La Parca, I believe, passed away. But I think there is an El Hijo de La Parca or a La Parca Jr. Mm. I think there are more in the La Parca lineage, I think. But I'm fairly sure only two people have portrayed, that I'm aware of, have
the
portrayed
La Parca bloodline. La Parca. Take a look at this. Bound by blood. I believe Gary Albright's a La Parca as well. La Parca and Juventud Guerrera are opening up the show. Great showing between these two. Lovely suicide dive to Hoovy by Parker. Hoovy also hits a lovely springboard run.
Massive plunger from La Parca to the outside as well.
Mike's on play-by-play, and it makes me feel like I'm watching TNA. It's nice.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Parker locks in a very impressive hands-free surfboard, which Hoovy breaks up. Tenay then reveals that Roddy Piper will be making an appearance on Nitro tonight. I feel like they've lied about a lot of things in the
coming up. Piper would be in and around the show for ages now, so it's been like 3 weeks.
I'll buy it when I eye it, mate.
They flew out to Portland to go talk to his managers.
Now, the match gets quite ropey near the end. Do you feel like it got ropey?
Yeah, a little bit, but it doesn't matter because, as Mike Tenay said, look at that move for the three.
Do you know why it got ropey?
No.
Because the match went 4 minutes longer than expected.
Ah.
Because the ref forgot to tell them to go home.
Ah.
So they just kept going. So had he not
said... He was just enjoying himself.
He was having a great time. I went, but you, get, that'd be me as a ref. I go,
he's making up for that 5 minutes they were cost at the start. He's just letting it run over. Yeah.
But now that's apparently why. But anyway, Parker wins in his debut with a body block off the top. Good lad. Nice opener. It's that car crash style opening that Nitro's become famous for. We get a video package celebrating the Ultimo Dragon. However, the video package says Ultimate Dragon.
Well, they do an Ultimate Dragon. They bill him as Ultimate Dragon for a while. He's billed as Ultimate Dragon already. I think they've referred to him as Ultimo Dragon, I think, once on commentary. But yeah, he's been Ultimate, and he'll still be Ultimate for a while.
Is that a confusion, do you think, or is that just a WCW?
It's a translation thing.
Yeah.
I think they do it. They, it was the same when they bring in like New Japan stars and just give them entirely different names, like idiots. But it's sort of like, just roll with the name.
Just keep the name. Yeah. Just like that's what they're known for.
Yeah.
Ultimo / Ultimate Dragon is taking on Dean Malenko with the WCW Cruiserweight title on the line.
Yep.
Now, he comes out, does Ultimate Dragon with all of his belts, except the WWF light heavyweight, the Cruiserweight championship.
They explain that away as being unified into another belt as he's making his entrance, I think.
He's still physically got the belt, but they don't want to get sued.
No,
they don't want to put it on TV. But it was something that I went, hope someone got fired for that blunder. The screen identifies him, as we've said, as Ultimate Dragon, and that is what he will be called going forward. Ultimo means of or occurring in the month preceding the present. Just if you wanted to know, you're welcome. Just a little bit of knowledge dropping on you. The picture-in-picture has Rey Mysterio. He calls Dean Malenko one of the toughest opponents he's ever had, but wants to take the belt from him. Rey will face Ultimo Dragon at World War III, as Dean Malenko was going to face Psychosis.
Mm.
So some nice matches set up for the footer. Great 50-50 technical out in between these two. Get a brief outside brawl that then gets back in the ring. Ultimo completely misses a moonsault, which puts Dean in a nice position.
Yep.
Cloverleaf. But Sonny Ono distracts. Naughty boy. He backdrops Ono, throws Ultimo over the top rope. And in the carnage, Randy Anderson has DQ'd Dean Malenko due to the throw over the top rope, because they've still got that stupid rule where if you throw the guy over the top, it's a DQ.
They only have it sometimes, though.
Hmm.
Whenever the referee remembers. It tends to be that you can go over that top rope as much as you fucking like, if you are anywhere but the lower or mid card.
That's it.
If you are on any of the preliminary matches and you go over that top rope, you are done.
If we feel like it benefits the story, then we'll let you do it.
Yeah. And when Russo comes in, you don't have to worry about bullshit like rules anyway. So it's not long. Just don't wait.
There's
don't
a
worry.
Whole episode of Thunder that I think... I know we don't do the Thunder review.
We should review a couple of Thunders because there are some that are so worthwhile because they are absolute dog shit.
Are you thinking of the one I'm thinking of?
It could be several.
There's the New York Rules Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's just no refs.
Yeah. That's when we definitely have to... Yeah.
Wrestling is such bollocks and it is great. I got an idea, bro. Great. We get a little cheeky recap of Harlem Heat and the amazing French Canadians from last week and some of the silliness between Parker and Sherry.
Yeah.
They're not very happy, are
they? We see them almost come to blows at the end of the match and Harlem Heat jumping in to protect Sherry while Parker runs off.
How about this for a clash of the continent? American French, the amazing French Canadians versus the American males.
With Legionnaire Parker, the amazing Frenchies.
Yeah. Now, this is a nice little twist to the story. Legionnaire Parker.
He's now part of the French Foreign Legion, one of the strongest fighting forces and most rigorously trained fighting forces the world has ever seen. genuinely, I think if you're in the Legion, you're like hard as fuck. Like, there's no way. Like, I've heard stories from people who like... worked with Legion members and stuff, and it's like, nah, it's insane. It's nice to see Colonel Parker getting out there and sort of having a bit of a career reshuffle.
It's a nice reshuffle.
At that age, yeah. I think he's made a good choice. He's got to be incredibly physically fit, and he's rocking the hat.
I do like the hat. Bagwell and Riggs have America flags because they are facing, of course, French Canadians. Now...
Yeah, fuck Canada. Yeah, French Canada is even worse.
It's even, bloody worse, that is. Now, there was a show in San Jose, which American Males, the American Males wrestled on,
yes.
That had Ray Zap Hollett in the corner of Buff Bagwell and Scotty Riggs, the actor Ray Hollett. And that is because Hollett co-stars with Bagwell in the movie Day of the Warrior, which I believe is something that we should watch because it looks very 90s as fuck.
We should watch that because I want to see Buff Bagwell's acting chops. I want to see Buff Bagwell's chops.
Did you not see him in what's the series? It's got out of my brain.
They did like a Baywatch special or some shit.
No, it wasn't a Baywatch one. It was with the witches, Charmed.
No.
There's an episode of Charmed, and it's from 2000, in which there is a gateway to hell. But in order to get to hell, you have to lose a wrestling match on the way to hell because of wrestling. And it features Booker T, Scott Steiner, and Buff Bagwell as themselves wrestling the
So
girls
is the insinuation here that they're dead? Or do they just, work one day a week down the entrance to hell?
They never made it clear. So I decided what you said, which is the latter, which is on their off days, they just go and stop people getting
into
hell.
Sort of like working for Area 51. You go to like McCarran Airport, you get on one of the Janet flights. Instead of taking you to Groom Lake, it just takes you to hell.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
That.
Lovely.
I think that's a lovely idea.
Yeah.
Bagwell leads a USA chant, which allows a nice strong start because the power of America... Jacques stops the match to show off his kip-ups.
I'm just worried that Bagwell's going to be a prick to little Scooty.
No, not this week.
He's been a bell end to Scooty, and he's getting in the match for too much. He's taken charge. He's costing them the match, but he's blaming Scott every single time. Like, Riggs is getting gypped here, like, properly by Bagwell. Like, Bagwell is just sort of undercutting him. And making him look bad.
Well, look, it might not be too bad this week. There is a malfunction at this point, however,
mm-hmm.
Where Bagwell gets into the ring and bumps into Scotty Riggs, which is unfortunate. That can happen between
Is that
friends.
When he's about to do the leapfrog?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, does it? Because Scotty Riggs, right? Say if this can was the person getting leapfrogged over.
American
Scotty Riggs
can.
Is here, very visibly about to run out and leapfrog over, only for Buff Bagwell to step in here, looking at his tag partner who was running to leapfrog, and then he just sort of does this.
Just crashes into him.
Yeah, so and I think Bagwell is full of shit. And I think Scotty we need to go back in time, we need to tell Scotty to ditch that sack of shit. It's just dead weight around his ankles, and that Scotty can be the megastar here.
Is that the only thing we'll do in back in time? That's the only thing we need to fix. Everything
else is
fine.
Everybody's like, you go back in time, you could stop various horrible things happening. No, we got to preserve Scotty Riggs' safety here, and we need to make sure that he's the guy that ends up being in there with Scott Steiner.
So would it not create a mega Bagwell if we prevent this Bagwell from happening?
I don't know. Do we have to then push him through into a dimension? Well, there will be a dimension out there where Marcus and Judy Bagwell are one.
Oh, Mooly.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know, like a sentient supercomputer that calls in sick to wrestling practice.
I am poorly. We are poorly. I want to live in that dimension. It sounds hilarious. Sadly, we live in the boring dimension where Buff Bagwell's his own person and Scotty Riggs is on the comeback against the amazing French Canadians. Jack drops Ouellet in the small of Riggs' back, which looks fucking horrible.
Can we say his name properly? Because it's like every time it's like everybody says Ouellet, but it's Ouellet.
Ouellet.
It's Ouellet.
Ouellet.
Which you just nailed there, and it is. It's Ouellet.
Ouellet.
It's like I like the Pierre-Carl Ouellet, and I'd be like, it's Ouellet. And it'd be like, how do you know it's Ouellet? So I heard somebody say it on a podcast that was wrestling with him at the time, and they said Ouellet. And then you'd hear it on a video, and it's Ouellet. And I'm like, God damn it.
Ouellet's the noise you make when you're bullfighting.
Yeah.
Ouellet. Ouellet. Like toilet.
Like Ouellet.
And Willet. He will not win it, though. He drops him on the small of his back, which was not nice at all. Bagwell gets a hot tag. He runs wild on the French Canadians, but we then have a really fucking crap finish. So Riggs knees Jacques in the back, who in turn crashes headfirst into Buff.
Right.
Carl then puts Jacques over on Buff for the win. Like, really, Buff doesn't take much of an impact here.
No. But I think Buff's just desperate to split up the team because he knows he's going to be a star.
So we think Buff's throwing the fight?
I think Buff's being a dick on purpose.
Oh!
I think Scotty's getting absolutely done. And I think that, as you know how history turns out for the American males, I think that Scotty should really, really, at this point in time in 1996, be looking to maybe just sideline Bagwell with a car. just a little love tap. Just like, you know, just like Rikishi with Austin. Nothing major, just, you know, thunk. Just take him out for 6 months or something, you know?
Who ran Buff Bagwell off the road? Well, there's a fucking list here.
The police would still be investigating now.
The males are livid with each other over it, though, which is a shame.
Yeah, they have a bit of a bicker. Yeah. Can we have a bit of a moment for the screenshots of the WCW website that they've just got control back because NWO took it over? I miss the internet.
It's almost as if...
I miss the internet.
It's almost as if somebody has access to the website login... Like Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
How come they were able to just... Isn't the website managed by Turner Properties Limited, isn't it? Isn't it Turner that controls everything from some office down? So why would Turner be... Why would Turner be putting a load of NWO stuff on there? Why is this NWO stuff all branded up as property of Turner TCO or whatever the fuck the company's called? And like, what's going on?
And why has Kevin Nash got a brand new copy of Corel Draw in his bag?
How come they're all? How come they were when we all went round to Ted Turner's for a barbecue? How come they were there, like sat at the table, all shaking hands with him and stuff,
saying what a great business deal that
and
we've
like,
done,
thanking him and that? Yeah.
Why did I overhear him having a chat saying we'd like some more money to do the NWO angle? What does that even mean?
How come when I went backstage, there were two guys like planning a match out? Like, what's this? If the crowd knew about this, they'd be livid.
I'm surprised that the wrestlers got attacked by Kevin Nash because they said, we'll run out and hit you with these chairs.
This piece of paper here says that Kevin Nash is going to win later. Like, that's a pretty favorable deal from Ted there, if you ask me. I didn't have that back in my day.
It's a great mystery, I tell you.
Larry's just been shooting the entirety of his career.
But let us shine a light on WCWWrestling.com. Oh. I love it, love it, love it. There's nothing that makes my soul lift like a 90s, mid-90s website.
Yeah, new internet's just like, buy this shit. Here's an elegantly designed piece of crap site. And it's like, no, fuck that. I want something that's like 200 by 300 pixels blown out to fuck and has like a bio page and like an about us with like a real player embed in it and shit. That's what I want.
I want it all.
That's what I want.
I want it in Times New Roman.
That's what I think. I think I'm so like, if the dark web could provide that level of experience, I'd be like, right, I'm just sack off the internet. I'm just going to live there now because everything looks like it's 1995.
I'm all dark web. I'm a dark web boy now, Your Honor. There's a lad in the crowd who has Piper and Hogan WWF action figures.
Yes, the LJN thumb buddies, ones you stick on your thumbs and you make them fight each other. And there's another Hogan figure there as well, which they've got no problem with showing those toys. But I bet the WCW, little WCW maniacs want some Roddy Piper WCW figures because they're famously amazing. Fucking unreal, the WCW figures.
Are they like the real like plasticky
ones? Is it
ones?
Toys for Kids, are they called? The company that makes it, like Toys for, number four, kids.
Ah, if it's
or,
a
like,
number
Toys
four.
Toys for Biz or something. But it's like, they go on to be all right. Like, I've got a couple of DDPs where he does, like, the bang, and I've got some of the Magna Arm Goldberg and Hogan's where they latch on and they can pick each other up. And they've got, like, a metal plate on the back so you can, like, one arm pick up the other one. But initially, WCW figures are pretty fucking cheap. Like, I've got my early Harlem Heat ones, like, they're some of the earliest ones I got, and one of my early Nashes, they feel so, like, light and hollow. And like super, super, super cheap compared to like how they would be in about 2 years' time. It's obviously they're still rapidly adjusting to this idea of you know, wrestling marketing, I guess. So it's a lot of like trial and error. But it's quite interesting when you do have like a figure where it's like, holy shit, like it feels like completely hollow, doesn't feel right. And then like 2 years later, you've got one that maybe looks a bit jankier, doesn't look as good, but is more articulated and a bit more weight to it. And it like locks into the entrance ramp when they come out and stuff like that. So there's like, yeah, it's an interesting one.
Have you noticed they've released Kevin Nash action figures? Like, why are they releasing a figure of someone who's trying to bring the company down?
My Kevin Nash has got like a bionic knee or something.
Does it crumble? Like one of those seaside donkey wooden toys that you get where you push the button and it
goes. You pull his leg straight and it goes click. And then you. And then there's a little trigger on the back and you click the trigger and his knee just goes like, as if it's like kneeing you. But like, you could just click that and then have it fall over and it would look like he's just going,
with quad tear action. There is so on the new 2K game,
yeah.
There is one of the unlockable characters is a Cody Rhodes action figure.
Right.
So it looks like one of the elite style Cody Rhodes
figures. I really hope he doesn't finish the story if this is what they're doing. Could you fucking imagine?
I love it. But it looks like you play out, so you do the match as like it's all articulated and yeah. Stuff. To the point where there are modders already created an arena, which is the toy walkout.
They fucked up because people are going to mod this into the game, but I think it's a no-brainer for a spin-off game.
Yeah.
It's just a toy box full of, and you know, have the main character who owns the toy box be called like Tony, just as like a big dig. I think that, you know, we've seen a few spin-offs, but I think like an actual toy figure, like an action figure one could be interesting
because
like
great.
There's so much more you could do and that the arena setups could be interesting and yeah.
Have so much fun with that.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hugh Morris, talking of fun, he is taking on Lex Luger. We get a little picture-in-picture with Arn Anderson. He warns Luger he will get revenge on Luger in Baltimore.
Well, we'll be one night before World War III. We'll be in Baltimore, and it may or may not get taped or broadcast. but it's happening. Why was everything like that? It was almost like it wasn't going to get... Like, because it's Saturday night, surely, they're promoting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there was a couple of points where it was like, I'm sure later on it's like, well, we're not sure if, you know, it's going to be broadcast or anything. And it's like, wait, what? Like, eh?
Is it more because Saturday night is taped in bulk at Disney? So therefore, they don't know necessarily when matches will air. They might drop some stuff. They might not
have to move around.
You know, it's just where they've not really been prepped. So I guess, but that's still shit though. You should still be able to know exactly what's happening when and how you're running it. How you'd have thought, wouldn't you?
It's fucking disgusting.
Fucking disgusting. So Hugh Morris' offense gets shaken off by Luger. He runs wild in this one. Get a little brief flurry by Hugh, squishing Luger in the corner, flattening him with an axe handle. Then Luger gets back into it with a trifecta of those screamy clotheslines that he does.
It was very expected fare from the pair of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the job. Torture rack for the win after Lex avoided a splash by Morris. Luger seems confused because Luger is annoyed almost that he won so quickly because he got Hugh up on the rack and immediately Hugh Morris started tapping.
Yeah.
But Luger carried on putting him in the rack, like he wasn't quite in position yet.
Yeah. It did also feel like Luger was going to drop him just flat on his face. So that might be why Morris just went, tap, tap, get me back.
Get me out, you bastard. But look, Luger looked quite angry.
How dare you not let me burning hammer you?
Yes, I wanted to kill you, damn it. Here is our boy, Mean Gene Okerlund. He's popped by. Old Sticky Hands is back. Red from the night before. He's chatting to Lex Luger. Gene tells Luger that, Luger, you're on a tear right now.
Luger just responds in like really exhausted, broken English. It's amazing. I enjoy Wrestle World Championship Baltimore. Like, it's like one of those kind of, like, he's just continuing on in his head and words are just completely missing.
It's like if you, the best way to describe what Luger's doing here, it's like if this was a Guitar Hero level and you're just missing the notes. That's the best way to describe how he's talking here. It's a really difficult Guitar Hero level. But he does mention, he does start talking about loving WCW and all this stuff and this match at World War III, but then he's interrupted by the arrival of Sting
with a bat, has a chance to absolutely beat the shit out of Luger here. Probably even sneak up behind him and just plink him right on the back of the skull if he wanted, but
doesn't
choose to.
Instead, he
could have smacked him around the knees.
Yeah.
Could have probably kept smacking him until his knees were made of like gum.
He could have done.
Until he couldn't walk his way to the ring for any matches coming up.
He instead chose just to hand Luger the bat, and then just go.
Well, essentially rubs the bat across Luger's sculpted chest and chin first, and then he hands him it.
It's somewhat erotic.
But he could have really laid that bat in.
Would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
Just freak the fuck out of Lex.
Proper winds up, just thunk, and you see Lex just go like, like a fish, stunned fish.
That would have been bloody brilliant. Yeah. Would have been bloody brilliant. But we don't get it, sadly. Luger doesn't want to talk anymore, because obviously he's failed at his emotional.
He's just like, meh.
I don't want to talk anymore.
He's handed me a bat and I don't know what side he's on anymore. It's my friend.
I don't want to talk anymore. Luger, you could argue that you couldn't talk before. Hour two of Nitro is underway. We get a recap of Dubsy Dub Saturday night and Nick Patrick being a dick.
A pat back. A pat flashback.
Pat flashback.
Pat back.
my wife-to-be was convinced that Pat Sharp's name was Pat Cash. For many years, until someone told her otherwise. So it's always a nice joke in our house.
Pat Cash.
Pat Cash. Whole lot of fun. Prizes to be won. Pat Cash. So the money was Pat Cash. Please take that with you anywhere you go. So Pat flashback is Nick Patrick being called out for DQing someone unnecessarily. Alan Sharp, Patrick's attorney, continues to gaslight people. This week it's Tony.
He puts Tony in his fucking place. Is what he does.
It's from Saturday night.
It's what should be done.
It leads to a match being set up between Nick Patrick and Chris Jericho with one arm tied behind Jericho's back.
Yes.
At some point.
So we have, hold on, that was it. Jericho and Long appear. Tedders reveals that Pat's lawyer works for a firm called Do We Cheat Him and How?
That's a great line, that is.
It is, but it made me just want to go, Teddy, you, there's an acceptable level of bullshit here. It's the 90s, mate. You could have said you work for a law firm called like Cunt and Sons, and I'd be like, oh wow. But do we cheat him and how? That's so cartoony and fake.
Can I give you my lawyer joke?
What?
Guy rings his lawyer, his lawyer's firm, and he answers the phone. Hello, Dunn. They go, hi, yeah, is Dunn there? No, Dunn's on holiday for a week. He's back next Tuesday. Okay, well, is Dunn there? No, Dunn's got the afternoon off. He's gone out to lunch. He'll be back this evening, though. Okay, can I speak to Dunn? No, Dunn called in sick today. Don't expect him back till the end of the week. Okay, I'll speak to Dunn. Yeah, speaking.
Yep. Is that a joke? It just felt like a big long setup.
It was all the setup, and he was the last done. He wanted to avoid talking to the guy.
I'm done after that.
Hey, come on. I loved it. No more All the Days on Chris Jericho's entrance.
No, we've dubbed in his WWE theme for some reason. Fuck, he doesn't even change his WCW theme for another year.
No, I know.
And he goes up to like an Even Flow cover next.
I don't understand why they got rid of it. I mean, obviously Mammoth would want a bit of money for it, but they've had it in all the other ones.
Yeah, it might be just that they started laying shit in, because remember when they were doing Network, it was like different eras were getting dropped first. Mm. So it might be that they were originally trying to re-edit all of the music just to get around it. But then at some point they reached a deal with Jimmy Hart, because they released the WCW album. So up till a certain point, they didn't have the rights for any of the WCW music without having to pay for it, I think.
And when they sort of filled in the gaps for the network, they just couldn't be asked to change.
I imagine so, because it's just pointless to do, isn't it?
Nick Patrick is in sunglasses and he's in the crowd scouting his opposition.
Just realized it could have also been on a DVD or something.
Ah. Yeah.
Like a best of or a retrospective.
That best of Nick Patrick DVD. Yeah. a weird pair in this, Johnny Grunge and Chris Jericho, but it's nice to see Grunge doing some solo stuff.
Is it?
I thought so. I don't think he's great, but it's different.
Yeah, it's different.
Give him a go. Always worth an effort, isn't it?
It's nice seeing the guy who's really good at tag team wrestling be forced to wrestle on his own, where rhythmically he's just way off.
Well, Jericho looks great throughout, thankfully. Bischoff puts over how a tag wrestler is at a disadvantage in a singles match, which is true. But he gets a table anyway, does Grunge. He's going to carry on regardless. Referee is just letting it go because he's technically not used the table yet.
He's put Jericho in a chair, though, and kicked Jericho off the chair. But technically, Jericho's lowered to the ground, so maybe it's more of a kindness than just kicking him upright. Can't DQ a man for kindness, no.
Get that on a T-shirt.
But none of it makes sense, because earlier in the night we've already had somebody get gently tossed over the top rope for a fucking major, what? How dare you? Fucking DQ. And now it's like, oh, just put a table up in a singles match. Yeah.
He might want to have
you got a way you're going to distract this ref for.
Grunge comes off the top rope with the chair, but Jericho moves to avoid it. He then lands a missile dropkick moments later and wins.
Rocco Rock then emerges doing donuts, which was going to be the surprise. It was going to distract the ref for the table spot.
You ruined it for everybody.
You're fucking late.
Mean Gene in the ring, clammy hands himself, chatting with Jericho.
Sticky hands, Gene.
Yeah, he acknowledges Nick Patrick popping up, does Jericho, and Teddy Long then appears, and he says sorry to Jericho for getting him in trouble with Alan Sharp.
Sorry that I said that you would do something that has no bearing on my personal safety to back up my own arguments.
Exactly.
Against a guy who's so fishy, you're probably going to get jumped. But, you know, it's just the way that it goes sometimes. And you're just going to have to lump it.
It's the way the biscuit bounces,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, you know, way of the road.
Jericho says there's no need to say sorry, but the one man behind his back idea is actually a great idea. And he tells Nick to watch out.
Well, he says it's a kindness for Nick, isn't it? It's the only way he's going to emerge without getting killed by him.
Do they say when the match is?
It's World War III, isn't it?
It'll be World War III. Makes sense.
Or build up to at the very worst.
Bobby Heenan and Eric Bischoff are at the broadcast position after the break. Bischoff confirms that Hogan is here. And with that, the new world order arrive, led by Hogan. Heenan gives it away. Are they going to the ring?
Oh, no, they're coming to commentary, aren't they? And they're gonna threaten us, and you're going to side with them later, aren't you, Eric?
But whose side is Eric on?
Whose side is Eric on?
Bobby! Here's your present. It's a bike. Don't say it's a bike. Oh, Bobby.
Ruined it. Hogan, Ted, and Vincent are here. Hogan gets right in Bischoff's face, demanding Bischoff tell everyone that he's a bigger star than Rowdy Roddy Piper.
It's like, it's time for Hollywood. So he's bigger than Ginger Roddy. Bischoff then agrees while weeing his
Ginger
pants.
Ginger Rogers then.
And then weeing his pants. And then Bischoff repeats after him that Hogan has the hottest mouth and the slenderest abs in all of wrestling and also a big bank account. And Bischoff then apologizes afterwards, going, sorry, everybody. Sorry that I pissed myself on live TV.
Basically, that's what happens. Yeah. Hogan bullies him into saying nice things about him. And Bischoff gets all sad. To Mean Joe, then they head away. And we'll be more on the NWO in a little bit. Order. So we're going to go back to Gene. Bless him. He's joined by DDP with a very fetching bum bag.
Yes. Gene is referring to the fact that NWO sort of reached out to DDP last week, didn't
yeah, they? And Paige is very honest about it, because he said, I'm annoyed that I was the eighth person they asked. I should have been the first.
Go fuck yourselves. The hype has died down now. What's it after me? Horace? I'm not fucking being that guy. Come on.
I ain't no Horace. I actually like that as a little storyline wrinkle for DDP.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, he's not saying I wouldn't join, but you ask me now?
A bit late to the party.
Fuck off. And he becomes a babyface almost de facto. He's interrupted by Hall and Nash once again, and then here come Giant and Six as well. They're laughing at the fact that DDP doesn't know. Yeah. You don't know.
You don't know.
You
I
don't know.
Know. You don't know. Now we know.
Oh, now we
know. We know. That's
now
how
we
felt.
Know. Now we know.
Now.
It's and Nash says something very beautiful is going to happen tonight. Now we know.
Now we know.
Now we know. A little foreshadowing. I think at this point it's 5, 6, 7 shadowing, to be honest. But we'll more on the NWO in a little bit. Bobby Eaton is out. Robert is all gone. He is dressed like a rotisserie chicken, I've put here.
Yeah.
It's quite the look.
Yeah.
It's a look. And he is facing my best friend in the whole wide world, Jeff Jarrett, the leader of the Four Horsemen.
Big Jeffy.
Big Jeffy. Oh, this week. Oh, it was nice. I listened to My World this week, mm-hmm. which is Jeff's podcast.
Yeah.
I think he's coming to the UK and he's buying me some jewellery.
Oh, is he?
He said he wants to give me a guitar necklace.
Oh, nice. Nice, isn't it? That's really nice. You should give him something back.
Yeah, I might do.
Yeah.
Like a lovely kiss.
Yeah. Something uncurable with that kiss. You know, something you're always going to have with you forever.
A friend bracelet.
Yeah. Just put the friend bracelet in your mouth. And then just
chew on it. It's razor blades.
Just gently, like, place it on his shoulder. That's for you. It's a British tradition.
It is to kiss a man's shoulder.
No, to regurgitate beads onto a man's shoulder. Come on, Tom.
Like a fucking bird.
Yeah, you got to sort of half swallow them. Just be like...
Hang on, Jeff. Sorry, Jeff, you're an hour later than I expected. I got a bit further down. Got you some beans.
No, you don't. Not into your hand. Onto his shoulder. I fucked it up. Jesus Christ. Can't take you anywhere.
Sorry, Jeff. I'll put them back. Oh, God.
Somebody needs to go back to finishing school.
Hang on, I got you a diamond ring as well. Hang on.
The ring's, the ring's stowed somewhere else.
Bischoff says... If censoring the NWO makes people want to hear them, oh, that's it. So he's then asked about why he's allowing the NWO to run roughshod. I was like,
well, Larry has very keenly gone, well, why do we even like allow them to come into the arena? Surely we could just have armed guards with like rifles. I know Kevin Nash is big, but like he's not that big.
We had a chat with this guy called Sam Driver. Who's got this great idea about turrets.
Yeah, you know, like just a couple of turrets, and it just keeps the NWO at bay.
A turret a day keeps the NWO away.
You know, if it can take down a rhino, it's probably going to be able to take down Hall and Nash. But you know, just a couple, then you make sure.
But look, Bischoff has a very good point. If you censor them, people want to hear them more.
Yeah.
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 That's what he says.
That's
covered all bases.
I guess he is right. He is right. You know, if every time they turned up, we cut away, I'd be intrigued. Oh. I'd want to know why. I'd be hanging on, you know, really, really watching intently every single week.
Well, therefore, you should.
No, Horace Hogan is what we need. Why aren't you following this? Horace Hogan.
I was too busy vomiting up beads for Jeff Jarrett. I missed off this part. Jeff Jarrett is here to loud boos and a big old smile on his face.
Why is his theme really Mavericksy?
Crap in it.
It sounds like the Mavericks. It's just like generic, I don't know. Like it's very like country, but very bad country.
It feels like there's like a sick like the Beverly Hillbillies sitcoms.
Yeah,
like theme tune. It's not. It doesn't work for him.
Maybe it is.
Do you notice the mass exodus at ringside for people who want to go for a drink or a piss?
Well, they shouldn't be. He's the leader of the Four Horsemen.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Disgraceful behaviour. Jarrett mocks Eaton with hair slaps and struts, so Bobby just fucking twats him.
Yeah, Eaton's like, I mean, Eaton's somebody that Jarrett's surely gone up against enough to know not to disrespect him like that.
No disrespect. massive pop, not for this match, but Flair turns up.
Yeah, Flair pops up with his arm in a sling and...
a lovely jumper.
Yeah, the jumper was odd.
Yeah, it looks like a sofa that my mum and dad had in the 70s.
He looks like he's just come from like the Dingles house in Emmerdale. Like he's not there permanently. He's a house guest, but he's definitely related to the family. You can tell because of his choice of ugly ass jumper.
He's the sort of guy that sits at the back of that old pub and everyone just calls him Prof.
Yeah.
Because he got an O level in science. Mad pop for Flair. Out he comes, arm in a cast, lovely jumper. As he arrives, Jarrett beats Eaton with the figure four. And Flair continues to endorse him when Mean Gene interviews him afterwards. Jarrett is very excited to beat the Giant at World War III. Jarrett says that WCW need to unite, and he puts Ric Flair over, like Flair needs it. But we get then a recap of Jarrett getting dropped by Sting last week.
Yeah.
And Gene asks about dissension within the Horsemen. Jarrett is out to talk about guys uniting for WCW, and Flair says that Jeff Jarrett is good to go. He'll be back in the ring soon himself, says Flair. But he says, in the meantime, Jeff Jarrett is the main horseman, and Benoit and Mongo have to listen to him. So
were,
Jeff
if
has
you
said
were Benoit
it,
or Mongo, you would probably just you would probably just like take Jarrett out as fast as you could, surely. And it's just, there's no way. You can tell they don't want it. They are absolutely despondent that Jarrett is allowed to be a part of the Horsemen, that Flair is endorsing him.
They'd be livid.
It's amazing.
Be livid. Sting's watching all of this from the rafters.
He is, but fuck Sting, because Lee Marshall is in Rutgersville, Virginia, zapping to the extreme. Where is he?
He's in Norfolk at a WCW Nitro party here at the Scope. Oh, I'm with some fans who want to know if they have to put the emphasis on the first or second syllable of weasel.
It's him just going, oh, calm down, guys, calm down. Whoa, oh, God, you see that move? Whoa, calm down, guys.
Lee, you're so sexy. Oh, stop it, women.
Room service.
Sad pasta for one. Oh, no, no, I mean, oh, that's a joke, that is.
You're a prostitute, sir. Come on, I mean, it'd be an interesting call.
That would be a fucking single. So Bischoff finds out that Lee Marshall has been booking hookers onto his WCW credit card.
Far from the worst thing that got charged to a WCW company card, I imagine.
I think it would be, but it would for Lee Marshall to do.
This is a company that apologises to people by sticking their face on a NASCAR. I think talent or a member of staff booking a worker of the night wouldn't be so much sniffed at.
It would.
No.
It really would. But I love the idea of the prostitute opening the door going, Lee, but you're meant to be in Norfolk. Just been watching Nitro.
You're a liar.
You're a liar. If there's one thing I will not sleep with, it's liars. She throws all his
not
money.
Not even if you paid me.
She throws all his money back at him.
Well, that's just Tony the Tiger money. I don't care.
I don't care if it's Coco Pop's monkey money.
He meant it was actually Tony the Tiger money that were Tony's face on it. Like, this isn't even legal tender.
You pay me in bike spokes.
What am I supposed
that's
to?
That's a 90s reference.
I can get fucking 2-for-1 at Alton Towers with 11 of these. Am I post them in? What is this?
You'll be thanking me when you're on Oblivion. That's the name of my dick.
Just fucking the idea that somebody in oh my God, if there's an equivalent to Flair and Space Mountain. If somebody's dick is named Oblivion, I mean, Jesus Christ.
You all want to ride the teacups.
That's your gimmick, Tom. You got to roll with it.
I'm fine with it. I'll take it. Meat Planet Battle. Big Bubba is taking on Jim Powers.
Jimmy P.
The meaty match of the night, the background of which is Bischoff making more excuses about Piper. Oh, I haven't got to. I tried to ring him and he didn't go through.
Roddy Piper is my close personal friend and he's just working on a film right now and he's going to shoot some more films and everybody remembers him and he's a draw, guys, okay? So we're working on it, right? Calm down. Calm the fuck down.
Calm down, guys.
Calm the fuck down, right? Fucking Roddy Piper. Oh, what do you even want him for? He's like 50. Jesus. Everybody's just Piper. That's like all he does. Just goes off really horribly.
Yeah.
And he's like, but he will be up in a bit, yeah.
You're all crying on the internet about wanting fucking Piper. He's old as fuck.
I already fucking got Hogan and you fucking turned on him. You gonna bring Piper in?
Well, I stick a broom at my arse and I'll sweep as well. But he's on the way in a bit.
I'll eat meatballs off the floor. Will that make you happy? Will it?
Not me. Oh, Jim Duggaroni pizza.
Who then proceeds to throw meatballs on the floor and make him eat them.
Yeah. I've not been on in a while, tough guy. Anyway, Powers starts strong, but Bubba wallops him. Bit of a flurry from Powers, but then Bubba wins with a sidewalk slam.
The end of that match was fucking... It just felt like it fell apart. Like, wheels come fully off.
Yeah. And I felt like they just went... This
crowd. Well, the crowd don't really know... The crowd kind of get behind it, but they get more behind the people-pleasy spots, like counting the punches in the corner and all the expected things. But it just wheels seem to come off out around then, and then it just ends very flatly. But Basically. Either way, you know, I'm big fan of Booba.
Nice to see him again. Slightly different match next. It's Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero. Bischoff describes it as a match to satisfy even the most ardent wrestling critic.
Yeah, Eddie straight in there with a shove. And then we're getting into a pace of very exciting lightning speed reversals. And then Kevin Sullivan pops up to just take away from all of that exciting action that's happening right there. Instead, you need to look at his face. He's here to talk about Baltimore and men's toilets and the things he's going to do to Chris Benoit in men's toilets in Baltimore.
He's basically saying the same thing that he said for the last three or four weeks.
And you tell her that I'm going to do horrible things to you in that toilet in Baltimore. That's basically what he says.
Well, she said the same thing, strangely. Guerrero is picture perfect with all of his offense here. Head scissors, springboard arm drags, mwah, chef's kiss. He's back on form after feeling a bit poorly. After I say poorly, he fucking broke a rib.
A little bit poorly,
are you, Eddie, with a fucking broken rib?
Oh,
look at you, Dubu. But he has a banger here. Benoit starts slapping Guerrero, frustrated with the resilience of Eddie. He grounds him for ages with slow moves. Then Guerrero gets back in the mix before Benoit shuts him down again. Off the break, Benoit stops Eddie's momentum with a military press, not a move we see very often from the
little men,
the vanilla midgets
who never drew a dime.
Never drew a dime, mate. Lovely superplex. Then Eddie hurricanranas Benoit out of the ring, and they start landing some heavy strikes while they're out there. We see woman go to slap Eddie.
And then Eddie sort of catches her arm and then sort of, well, I can strike you back. And then in that confusion, Benoit is able to get hold of him again and get him in the ring.
He misses a frog splash shortly afterwards as Eddie goes for a Frankensteiner, but Benoit turns it into a roll-up for a win. Banger of a match. Lovely
it was fantastic.
Stuff.
But what comes out after this is incredible. But it... Sorry, throat.
That's all right.
It's just testament to the style that these guys are bringing at a time when it's fucking insane to see Eddie go up over the top of Benoit at the pace that it's happening for him to just land on his feet. It's just shades of Tiger Mask dynamite, right? Like it's just, and when you look at the background and the inspirations for both of these wrestlers, you can see why it's shades of that. So it's like definitely the best match on the show. Definitely the best match I think we've seen on a Nitro for a few weeks by quite some margin. But it's not the main event of the evening, is it?
It's not the main event of the evening. The main event of the evening is Eric Bischoff, who has an important statement. When we come back from the break, he's in the ring and he thanks everybody for coming out before apologizing for what Hogan made him say on the mic earlier.
The crowd booing.
Of course they did. Hogan promises to do everything. Sorry, Eric Bischoff promises to do everything in his power to sign a match between Piper and Hogan for the WCW title. Obviously, he's been struggling with that lately. And suddenly,
Roddy Piper's music hits. The bagpipes are piping. Piper's here.
And Bischoff looks like he has literally just shit his pants.
Whopper.
He's like rolling down his leg. He is about to make a puddle on the toilet. Puddle on the ring and turn the ring into a toilet.
It's a whopper. Disgusting. Of an ovation for Roddy Piper as the shite is falling. Piper says he is here to call out some lies that have been told.
Yeah, he was apparently the king of the frat house at one point, and he brings up LL Cool J, who is, and I quote, a rapping kind of guy.
Apparently a song about Roddy Piper, or a song that features Roddy Piper lyrics. LL Cool J's That's a Lie. Said you slapped Roddy Piper and didn't get a hassle. That's a lie.
Let's find out. I don't... LL Cool J, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Cool J.
Do you know what his name stands for?
Lawrence Cool J.
Ladies love Cool James.
Ah,
that's actually
ladies love. So I might call myself LL Cadbury's Milk Tray.
Oh, nice.
All because the ladies love.
Hold on. Finding page. Piper. Yeah, verse 4. A verse sang by Cool J. Then you start to lie about things you don't have. You speak of limousines. You can't afford a cab. Said you slapped Rowdy Piper and you didn't get hassle. You promised your girl filet mignon and took her to White Castle. Oh, sick burn. Sick burn.
That's a lie.
White Castle, though, like filet mignon, you only get one. But White Castle for like $4 back then, you probably got like 58 burgers.
Yeah.
So like, in fairness, I think that guy was just looking out, you know. Plus, who wants to eat filet mignon? What are we, Tories? Go White Castle. Their burgers, you could probably like throw them at a duck, kill the duck. You could probably like put one on the motorway and cause like a pileup.
What, one of the ducks or the burgers?
Well, you know, either way, they'll be both soaked with grease. You know?
I like how the first thing you went to was, well, them burgers, they're great. Throw them at a duck, kill a duck.
Yeah, fucking throw one at a duck. It's like, can you imagine just taking like a Five Guys burger? You'd kill a man with that.
They are quite hefty.
You could at least knock a guy out. I think if you got a good wind up and just fucking let it go in somebody's face, it would just go back. Good, like discus style.
Good volley on it, yeah. You could,
well, first, it'd be an impressive like splatter. But second, I think they'd go down like a sack of shit. We need to see this now.
Well, that might be for next week.
If any of you want to go and fight this weekend,
Sam's up for
tape
it.
Tape it. No, not me. Tape it. If you're going to go Five Guys, pick up a burger, tape yourself just yeeting it off somebody's face at like point blank range. I want to test theory.
A game theory. So he accuses Bischoff of lying, essentially, because he is saying that nobody has reached out to him about a match. He asks Bischoff a question about his ranch that he's apparently visited. Mm. And Eric Bischoff can't answer the question, a basic question about the ranch.
It's like, is the road curvy or is the road straight, Eric? You can't tell me, can you? And no, you can't.
And we have Piper grabbing Bischoff by the scruff of the neck.
And then he says, you piece of shit. He calls Eric Bischoff a piece of shit.
Yes.
Ted is not going to be happy.
I don't think Piper cares.
Oh, does he fuck? He's Roddy Piper. He's going to get away with it. Are you going to tell the most compelling speaker in that building that he's not allowed to say that? I just think it's hilarious that Ted Turner was probably just like, right.
Let's not do that, please. Here come the NWO.
Yep.
And they pull Piper away from Bischoff, and Hogan and Eric Bischoff embrace!
Hogan hugs him. Bischoff's revealed as the newest member of the NWO.
What?
And then Piper's going apeshit. Loads of cops get in the ring. Piper keeps trying to break away. And then as like Piper's getting further and further out from the cop grip, everybody sort of peels out. Bischoff is doing a little like, woo! And running away every time that that Piper gets clean of the police. And then essentially it's weird because we cut out to the wide and people are still throwing trash at Roddy in the ring.
Yeah.
It's a couple of people still throwing trash at Roddy, which it's good. Fan base divided, I guess. So many people want the NWO to be successful. Some people want the NWO gone. So I think it shows that there's fans on either side of the fence. But at the same time, Roddy accepts And now we're building to the mega match.
Hogan says, this guy, referring to Eric Bischoff, was the foundation of WCW, and now he works for the NWO. They get Piper stood up, and Hogan chews him out, calling Piper a loser, fighting a loser's battle, saying nobody knew his name until he wrestled him. Hogan says Piper is refusing to sign papers to face him. Hogan then takes off his belt, plans to whip Piper, but police and security, like you say, Sam, get in the ring and defuse the situation. Loud Roddy chants, and some garbage, as Piper desperately tries to break free of the cops to go after Hogan. Heenan and Tanay are just in shock on commentary as police restrain Piper and let the NWO leave. Weird choice. Piper gets to the microphone, but we're running out of time. But he just about says, you want to fight? You've got to fight. November 24th, Norfolk, Virginia. I'll have a contract. No surrender. No retreat. Hey, Baldy, you're mine now. Scene.
Acting. Roddy Piper versus Gene Okerlund.
The match we all wanted. There was a lot in that last bit from The Observer. This was an idea that was rumoured for a long time when it comes to Eric Bischoff turning heel and may have been considered for a long while. It was done at this time for reasons having nothing to do with long-term plans. It was simply that the NWO hour of Nitro will be the first hour because the theory at WCW, and we certainly find out if that's correct, is that people watch these shows now mainly for the New World Order. Judging from the reaction at the arenas, I guess it's been a logical assumption, says Dave Meltzer. So they wanted to put the NWO head-to-head with Raw. Eric Bischoff wants to be on the air at the same time as Vince McMahon. It's that simple. There's nothing more to it. So when NWO Hour starts, which should be in a week or two, Bischoff and Larry Zbyszko will do that hour. And the second hour will have Tony Schiavone, who walked off the first hour, Bobby Heenan, and Mike Tenay. So this gives away far more planning than what's currently...
Do you smell that, Tom?
Go on.
Do you smell that? That burning rubber.
Is it the duck that you threw burgers at?
The tire fire that is currently like 4.5 years away on the horizon. Because like it feels like it's 4.5 years away to like till you get to the actual fire. It is, but it's probably about another year, a year and a half, maybe, until it really starts to descend into Mad Max territory either side of the road. So this is.
You sat down here today before we started recording.
This is the point. This is where it starts to fucking go sideways because Bischoff works. Said. Bischoff works in the NWO, but where does it stop from now, right? The incorruptible Eric Bischoff is now a member of the NWO. Who we got going up against him now? Larry? We got Bobby Heenan
actually,
occasionally.
Yeah, Larry is in the mix.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like... It's, crumbs. It's... He feels like he should have been one of the last ones to be corrupted rather than so early on.
Yeah.
But
the reason is because Eric Bischoff wants to be a heel.
Yeah.
As a heel mouthpiece whilst Vince is live on Raw. So yeah. It's really more to facilitate him being able to be a prick and say awful things about the WWF and it makes sense in storyline.
Yes.
So I kind of get it from that perspective, but you're right in the sense that he should have been one of the last corrupted.
Yeah.
As opposed to one of the early ones. But it's all because we have the plan at the moment and you know what? And they really experiment. We get, what's the word for it? When people do like a secret pilot, you get sometimes where they'll have like a show, which will be like, they might do like a special episode of a show, which focuses on one character. Yeah. They call it a backdoor pilot. That's the word.
Right.
A backdoor pilot, whereby they'll do a show as normal, but they'll be testing the waters for maybe a spin-off. And we'll have an episode of Nitro coming up where NWO take over for an hour. And that is a backdoor pilot for NWO Nitro.
But as we're going to find out with NWO sold out, it's dog shit.
Yep.
It's just full stop.
It's basically dog shit.
They need the counterbalance. You can't just have 2 hours of the cool guys being cool guys. You need the bounce from either side. Mm.
You can have at least an hour and 10 of cool guys being cool guys.
Yeah.
Because that's what you've had today on the Cultaholic Classic Night Show.
Way.
We're back together next week. He's at the Sound Driver. I'm at Tom Campbell. Together we're at Cultaholic on Twitter. Bischoff, you prick.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.